This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre, Straight Fire for Friday, August 27th. We made it to the end of the week. It feels like a super long week. So busy, just slam wall to wall with sports. This podcast has been popping off all week. Four straight days of guests. I think I'm not 100% sure. Rob G can confirm. That might have been the first time in the year we've done this podcast that we've had four straight guests. But it's getting close to football. You know, I know next week's going to be a big fantasy football week. I've got like five drafts next week. So I wanted to get in some of the as many smart folks as we could. If you missed it and you're just picking up this one, we had Chris Sims. We debated Tom Brady. That was fun. He is the only man on the face of the earth who doesn't think Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time. Daniel Jeremiah, just fun facts galore from one of the greatest sports media guys that isn't with a team. He's very good. We had Kevin Clark earlier in the week from The Ringer. He had some spicy takes. And then we had Preston Johnson, who kind of changed it up, a little curveball. I don't know. I need to interrupt the prologue here at the beginning because I need to ask Rob G. Did I prologue, epilogue? I don't know. I might have butchered that. I need to ask you, Rob G., where were you on the Preston Johnson NFT, CryptoPunks, all that internet-y stuff?
I'm sure there was a segment of our audience that really enjoyed it.
I asked you, where were you? I didn't ask about the audience. I know the audience. Well, I know. I heard from a lot of people that they totally dug it. But I want to know what you thought.
Just not my cup of tea. Not my cup of tea.
You want to elaborate at all?
The first half of it was great. I love the college football angles. And then we started talking about NFTs and blockchain technology and, you know, crypto and things like that. And it's like, I don't know if that might be a little bit above the heads of 80% of our listeners here.
Hey, so. Well, are you calling our audience dumb? Are you saying they're not
yes.
smart? Oh, come
yes.
on. Sports fans in general, I know they've got, you know, they're not always the smartest fans. They're fan, which is short for fanatic. Obviously, they're a little crazy and unhinged. And yeah, the Deep South college football country has a reputation as not the smartest folks in the world. And listen, a lot of that people will just point at like the, you know, high school graduation rates. And in like Mississippi, it's like the dead last in the country. And oh, look, they're also dead last in COVID. Like, I'm not going to come out and say that stuff. You guys can look it up yourself. But unfortunately, we do have to talk about COVID. I'm really annoyed with it. I got hit out here. I mean, you guys know I'm in LA County. And they came down with some BS mandates this week that said for youth sports, yes, that is like 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-olds. That's youth sports. Before a practice, the athlete has to get a test. And before the game, an athlete has to get a COVID test. Like, personally, you know, I'm on some text chains with dads for some of these teams. Mostly dads that I know, because you got to be careful with the COVID stuff. And I'm just telling you, these guys are just like laughing. Like, yeah, sure, that's really going to happen. Good luck enforcing that. You know, like, I don't know why. Soccer is outside. Outside. It's an outdoor sport. You're outside. Our kids don't even have to wear masks at recess outside. Like, listen, I know Delta's serious and people are hospitalized and you can't give the vaccine to 10-year-olds. But folks, it's really becoming a story, not just in the youth sports level. And again, I'm in LA County. Maybe it's not bad everywhere else. And oh, by the way, 45 minutes south in Orange County, it's not bad at all. They don't care. Play sports indoors, no mask, whatever. But like, that was one of the bigger stories in the NFL this week. And that kind of sucks. Because if you remember, last year, not only did we have the COVID, but we had the election. And that just, you know, tore apart the NFL season. It was like a subplot that nobody wanted. Nobody. And now we got to kind of do half that over again. I just want the football. I want the gambling. I want the fantasy. I want all that stuff. I want my Sundays sitting down, maybe with cheese sticks and breadsticks, but hopefully not, watching Red Zone on one channel, watching the local game on the other, and watching the Jets on my phone. Like, that's my Sunday for 17, 18 weeks. That, for me, that's amazing. Like, I love it. You know, other people think I'm a little crazy, you know, and like, you get invited to stuff and I got to pass on like 97% of it. I'll make a couple exceptions. Listen, unless my kid's playing in like some high level tournament in a huge game, there's a damn good chance I'm going to be like, yo, I'm going to sit this one out. I did get invited to SoFi Stadium two years ago when they were building it. My buddy got a tour, and then afterward, they took you over by car to the Los Angeles Coliseum, and it was like Rams 49ers. And I'm like, no, but this is like building an incredible stadium. You get to walk around hard hat. Of course, I had Red Zone on my phone quietly. That was tough, you know. And of course, the game, I bet on the wrong team in that one and yada, yada, yada. But I don't know, Rob. I'm kind of nervous about COVID. Like this Buffalo Bills situation. I don't know if you want to set this up. I don't want to read like the whole saga. But essentially, I guess the Buffalo Bills have cameras at the facility and they have somebody monitoring the cameras. And they said, you, Joe Bob, had your mask pulled down when you walked through the facility at 2:15 or whatever, and they had screen grabs. And they said, later, when you were walking around here, you didn't have your mask on at all. And that's in violation, and you're fined $15,000. Did I get that accurately, Rob?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, the thing that's funny, or made the story funny, is that one of the receivers who got caught and fined was Cole Beasley, who's been very vocal about his unwillingness to get vaccinated. The other part that made it funny is, I don't know if it was Beasley or if it was Isaiah McKenzie, who was the other one, who was very vocal about the fine that he got. One of the two was actually caught in person by an NFL representative who happened to be on their team campus to discuss COVID. So it was just, wrong place at the wrong time. I just wanted to say this. I don't know if I'm going to step on your toes, but let me just get this off my chest and I'll let you react to it. So we found out during this whole spiel, as Cole Beasley and Isaiah McKenzie are talking about the fines that they got and how unfair this process is and things like that, we find out from Sean McDermott that only around 81% of their team is fully vaccinated.
Ooh.
Okay. By comparison, in the entire NFL, 93% of guys are vaccinated. So if you were to like take the Buffalo Bills out, that number might be like 95, 96. You know, like that's how low their numbers are relative to everybody else. They've decided amongst their team and their staff and their players that they're very big on the personal decision. You know, players' opinions, let them do what they like. You know, as long as we follow the protocols, everything will be just fine. Obviously, that has not worked out. On the flip side, you have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the reigning Super Bowl champions. Bruce Arians makes headlines earlier this week when, after a joint practice between the Bucs and the Titans, their kicker goes out to dinner with some Titans players because he's fully vaccinated and that is allowed according to the protocols. He comes back and he tests positive because, you know, the Titans had that big outbreak of COVID on their team, including Ryan Tannehill, Mike Vrabel. So Bruce Arians is so pissed about it, he reiterates to his players again, going forward this season, we are going to follow the protocols that were in place last year. That was when things were basically on lockdown. You were in NFL jail. If you were on the road, you could not leave the hotel. You were wearing a mask everywhere throughout the facility. You were getting checked at every door. He's like, we're going to do that this season because I'm not going to risk an outbreak. I'm not going to risk a positive test, because it's going to derail our chance at winning another Super Bowl. So if I tell you those two stories, the Buffalo Bills attitude, which is, hey, you know, we're just going to deal with it as it comes, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers attitude, which is, we're going to nip this in the bud immediately. I don't care if it doesn't seem fair to you, because our goal is to win the Super Bowl. Which one do you think is more likely to win this season? Which one do you trust entering the 2021 season to actually perform to expectations?
I'll take Tom Brady, Chuck, for 200.
Like, and that's what my overall point is. Look, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are already great on paper. They're the defending champions. They have everybody coming back. And on top of that, they've decided we are going to have an extra advantage over the rest of the competition by ensuring that our team is, I believe, like 93, 94% vaccinated. The coach expects it to be closer to 99 by the time the season starts. And we're going to have the strictest protocols to ensure that we do nothing that's going to jeopardize the availability of our players. There's no way, as long as we follow things properly, Tom Brady's going to get it, Mike Evans is going to get it, Chris Godwin's going to get it, Levante David's going to get it, because we have these protocols in place that are so stringent. If we have a breakthrough, then I don't even know what to tell you. Buffalo's decided, hey, you know, I know we got these protocols in place, but Cole Beasley, if you don't want to get vaccinated, and if you want to walk around the weight room with your mask pulled down, that's fine. You know, we'll just deal with it. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
It's only 15,000.
15K, baby.
In the world that we're living in today, where COVID, as you said, is wrecking youth sports now in this country, the people that are going to be successful in competition are the ones that are willing to sacrifice and do those things and follow those protocols. The people that aren't, you're going to see these positive little cases, little mini breakthroughs. You're going to see this attitude that reflects that we'd rather have fun and enjoy what we're doing than win. And I think that that's just a perfect illustration as to why the Bucks are contenders and the Bills are pretenders.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad but true. What I don't get is the guys who are fighting so vociferously. I don't want to get chipped. I actually heard, not chip block, not cut block, but people think you're getting a microchip when you're getting the, you know, the J&J or whatever vaccine you're getting. Like, you're getting a microchip. So that would mean that I believe it's every senator and every governor in the country has been vaccinated. Every former president that's alive has been vaccinated. Like, I don't know where this... Fight for your right. I don't know where that's coming from. I don't know who specifically is saying it. But if they are, I am curious if they're vaccinated. Because I bet they are. But they're just sounding tough to give off that vibe of, oh, I'm a rebel. I'm not going to capitulate and get the vaccine. Like, just do it. You know? Listen, this NFL is a private business, guys. You know this. They can do whatever they want. They want to say, you got to get the vaccine to play? You got to get the vaccine to play? I mean, listen, you're making a lot of money to play football. And I know you're getting beat up and it's a physical sport and there's long-term pain and potentially trauma to your brain. Like, 5 months out of the year, you got to put your body on the line. 5 months. Like, people say, oh, teacher, oh, geez, you get summers off? You know, even in the movie Boiler Room, which I saw recently, again, for like the 79th time, if it's on, you're watching it. Ben Affleck is making the speech, and he's like, you want summer vacation? Go be a public school teacher, you know? Football players get, I mean, basically, you got to report, what, late July, early August. Obviously, you can't do no workout in the offseason. But basically, if you're not a playoff team, your football calendar is what, like late July to December 31st, basically? So 5 months, maybe 6 months out of the year, you're working and getting paid to play football. And if you're not like on a good team and you're not a starter and you're not even playing that much and you're still making, I don't know, $2 million, like you would be willing to walk away from that salary to hold in your beliefs and not get the vaccine, even though all the smart people, a lot of the rich people, and a lot of the politicians are all getting the vaccine, and you're still going to say no? Like, it just doesn't add up to me. And I mean, it might be a bridge too far to essentially call the Bills idiots and pretenders because they're not getting the vaccine. I mean, I think Josh Allen's gotten it, right?
No.
He has not?
No, and that's as far as I know, he was one of the guys who said, I need to do my research.
Oh, no.
Which is funny because—
Do my research, guy.
Exactly. The NFL has access to the best doctors in the world. They have the money to get you whatever peer-reviewed study you'd like to look at.
Oh, yeah. Lamar Jackson's pouring through peer-reviewed studies.
Exactly.
Oh, definitely. No, I'm sure in his spare time, right after he puts on the playbook, can I get that peer-reviewed study from England? Like, you know, no.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
So it's Lamar Jackson, Kirk Cousins, Josh Allen. What other quarterbacks?
Cam Newton, who we're going to talk about here.
Who basically might have cost himself his job. Now, by all accounts, it was unintentional that he broke protocol. I guess he was taking the wrong test or something along those lines. But listen, I don't even, is it indefensible for Cam to screw this up?
It has to be.
Like,
it has to be.
And you know what the answer is. Hey, oh, you're giving out the vaccine and I'm not going to have to worry about anything, really? I mean, obviously you've got to still be cautious, but, oh, okay, give me the vaccine. Yep. Okay, let's move on. Like, he had COVID. It wrecked his season last year. It partially wrecked the Patriots season. How you would still be averse to getting it is kind of beyond me. But I know, listen, I don't want to be one of those guys like, trust me, I can't explain the science behind it. All I can say is, hey, you know what? If something goes in my kitchen sink, do you think I'm going to try to play a hero and like look up YouTube videos on how to fix it? Or am I just going to say, you know what? Let me call the plumber. He knows what he's talking about. Let me bring the plumber in here. He's the expert. Let's just let him do that. I don't know. You know, I got to stop saying some bad words. I've heard from multiple parents, Rob, who like listening to the pod in the car with their kids. I've heard from like at least half a dozen. Some kids locally here, and I know them, and their dads, of course. And so I'll try to tone down the bad words. Although Chris Sims had a nice little rant. Rob, maybe one of the
best. It was awesome.
One of the best cuss word rants that we've had from like a famous media person on the pod. If you missed the Chris Sims one, Texas legend Chris Sims. By the way, psst. I thought Chris Sims had a good Texas career. I got a buddy who graduated from UT Austin, huge Texas fan. I said, "Hey, Chris Sims is on the pod today." He's like, "Oh, I can't wait to listen to that overrated." And then he just started going in. I'm like, "Wow!" He's like, "He's the most overhyped quarterback we've ever had." Major Applewhite was better, and I was like, "Wow!" You know, Chris Sims never lost a home game, and he goes, "He never beat Oklahoma." And I was like, "Oh boy, here we go." So it is funny that you know how people listen to the pod and how they view the guests. Like I view Daniel Jeremiah as basically like an oracle. And like Chris Sims is well spoken. I know a lot of people hated the Brady take. Anyway, I
love the Brady take. It was great.
Oh, jeez. You and Rob Parker. You and Rob Parker. I know Rob Parker heard it and was like, let's get Chris Sims on the horn. We need to get him on. By the way, you haven't plugged the Odd Couple in forever, Rob G. Nice job. Remember at the early on?
Yes, because they're all on vacation. I don't want to plug them when they're on vacation. Yeah. Doesn't make sense.
Anyway, so. I mean, let's just say Mac Jones wins a starting job and Cam says, I don't want to be here. I don't have a team for him now, but I can tell you this. If Dak goes down, they're starting Cam over Ben Gucci DiNucci.
It's a great nickname, by the way.
It's the greatest nickname in the NFL. I'm trying to think, like, other than, I mean, do the Chargers kick the Cam Newton tires? I don't know who the backup is to Herbert, but I know Tyrod's no longer there. And, like, there's a lot of unproven young guys. Now, my Jets have always been desperate. Okay, the Mormon Mahomes is the guy, no doubt. That being said, they don't have a vet backup. They've got some two young guys, nobody's going to go to Jets games anyway. But would people go to Jets games to watch Cam Newton? I don't know. Also being said, if you are in the market for a quarterback because your QB went down, who are you going after? Gardner Minshew, should he become available? I think he is available, right? He's a backup. Or Cam Newton.
Ooh.
I mean, I don't think that's a slam dunk that it's Cam.
No, it's not.
He kind of has. I don't want to call him a system quarterback, but.
No, he's better than that. And that's why I totally agree with what Albert Breer said on this podcast. It might have been earlier this week or last week. My days kind of run together these days. But he made a good point. Like, look, if Cam Newton is not the Patriots' starting quarterback, then he could be out of the league. Now, obviously, if somebody gets hurt, he could be a replacement starter.
I got it.
Backup.
Lamar Jackson gets COVID for the third time. You bring it in.
But, you know, Albert made a great point. Like, there's certain guys that because of their talent, because of their status, because of their charisma, because of their overall attitude towards football, you don't want them as your backup quarterback. And this is not like a Cam Newton thing because he's not the only one who's like this. Like, if Aaron Rodgers was available and he had to be a backup quarterback, I wouldn't want Aaron Rodgers to be my backup quarterback as good as he is because he is one of those guys who's always going to think he's better than the starter. He's going to carry himself like he's better than the starter. He's going to have a little snippy attitude when people ask him about his playing time or why he's not playing. And he's just, there's not some guys who are just not built to be the guy behind the guy. Like Eli Manning is a great example. He said, I'm going to retire and give away all this money rather than hold a clipboard for Danny Dimes. Because he's like, hey, I'm a two-time Super Bowl MVP. Why the hell am I going to be backing up this guy? And Cam Newton is one of those guys where people gravitate to him in such a way, and he has the MVP. He's been to a Super Bowl in his back pocket. Like, you can't expect him to carry himself the same way that Chase Daniel does or Brian Hoyer does. So I totally agree with Albert Breer. When if him not getting this COVID vaccine, which leads to his 5-day suspension, which ultimately leads to him losing his job to Mac Jones, then I could totally see him not being vaccinated ultimately in a roundabout way leading to him being completely out of football.
That's just wild. I'm trying to look up Cam Newton's salary history. Like, obviously, listen, he got like a 5-year deal, a 1-year, $5 million deal with the Patriots. Again, not trying to look in his pocket, but he's 32. He's taken his share of hits. Listen, the guy's probably made well over $100 million. Yeah, his rookie deal was $22 million. His next contract was $103 million. I'm sure he's just been bank off the field, right? As long as he's not wasting all the money, he should be fine and walk away at 32. Your brain hasn't turned to mush, right? And, you know, I'm sure Cam, could he transition into media? Maybe. I don't know if that's his cup of tea. He's definitely a different dude, but I don't see him coaching. But, like, he don't need to. He's got millions of dollars in the bank. Those are some of the interesting storylines, I think, in the NFL.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Now, Rob G., it is week zero in college football this weekend. I looked at the schedule, and a lot of the websites, they start with week one. So I'm looking at the schedule. I'm like, oh, snap. Wisconsin, Penn State? Oh, my gosh. Alabama, Miami? Georgia, Clemson. Oh, my. This weekend's loaded. Rob G goes, no, man. It's week zero. So I go up to, like, the scroll thing. I go for week there. I'm like, there is no week zero. And a lot of the calendars have it messed up and are showing week one. So I find the schedule for this weekend. It's like UCLA, Hawaii, Nebraska, Illinois. Like, Nebraska, Illinois, I'll take a look-see at that. I think that game's on either Fox or FS1. And then UCLA, Hawaii will be a UCLA tune-up for the big game next week where Rob G will be in attendance. I don't know if he's going to be reporting from the sideline. He's going to be in a suite.
You know how we do it, Jason. I'm in the suite.
You know who are they playing?
LSU.
Mm.
So, you know, I'm really going to enjoy the first half. I know that for sure.
Well,
I don't know about the whole game, but the first half I feel like is going to be good.
Let me look up the line on that, by the way, because money's been pouring in on UCLA. And if you do want them next week, you should probably get it before they beat the tar out of Hawaii, because they are expected to clobber Hawaii, and the line will continue to come down. LSU, by the way, folks, this is not your older brother's LSU. UCLA was favored by 11 against Hawaii. It's up to 18. And then for the following week, the big game against LSU, you know, that one is, let's see here. It was, it's 4.5 down to 4. That's not that much line. I thought it had come down further. Yeah, listen, I'm a Chip Kelly guy.
I take back everything I said about betting on that game.
I'm a Chip Kelly guy, but, yeah.
Look, man, I'm a huge UCLA fan, and you know, my uncle has season tickets, which is why I'm able to go to this couple of games this year, actually, because he just, you know, when you have that kind of money, you just decide, you know what, I don't want to go to the UCLA-LSU game. I got other things to do with my money and time. So gave me some tickets. So I'm excited about going. Let me say, this is a make or break year for Chip Kelly. I know that I was very optimistic, and I think you were optimistic too when he came to Westwood. But at some point, you know, you can't always blame it on the cupboard being bare when you got there. Like, you've had a couple of recruiting cycles by now where there's no more excuses, Chip. I'm going to need some wins in the, some W's in the win column.
I don't know what happened to Chip Kelly. He clearly lost his mojo. But remember how good this guy was at Oregon? And, you know, yep. I feel a little bad because he's fallen so far so fast. Maybe the NFL did irreparable damage to him because he could make the playoffs in his first year. And then it got ugly fast because he wanted all the power and the control, and Howie Roseman, he kicked him out of the building and blah, 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 blah. I don't know, man.
Well, and part of his problem, part of his problem is
ego.
Well, yeah, that too. But part of it is that everybody started doing what he was doing. Like when he was at Oregon and they were in their heyday, nobody was running the spread like that at that speed. Like they had their own offense name. It was called the Blur. Nobody was doing that. And now Alabama, with all of their 5, 6, 7 star athletes, they're running the same thing. So it's one thing for Oregon to do it when they got 2 5-star guys and they're, you know, taking, you know, catching teams off guard. It's another thing when Alabama's doing it and they got 50 5-star guys. And now you see in the NFL, you see Pat Mahomes is doing it with Tyreek Hill. You know, there's some elements going on with that in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. They run a lot of spread formations. So and I think it got to a point where Chip Kelly decided, well, everybody's doing what I'm doing, so I can't do that anymore. That he did a complete 180 and decided to do a very slow, methodical offense, and it's just been
it's just not really working. Tough
to watch the last
few
years.
Now, again, it's easy to get players to Oregon, right? Oregon, Nike, cool setup. And you would think UCLA, but I guess he didn't check the how tough it is to get into UCLA. You know? It's a tough school to get into. Rob G, that's where you went, right?
Yeah, right.
Oh, you
no,
did not,
not
go
get into UCLA.
Yeah, no. I don't think I mean, I doubt I could have got in to anywhere now. I mean, with my grades in high school. But we don't need to go there. No need to bring that up. No need to revisit, you know, my mediocre high school grades. But that was at a time where, like, you could get in anywhere. Now, you know, if you don't have, like, a 3.8, good luck.
No, you need higher than that. You need, like, higher than 4.1, 4.2.
So you can't get any B's to get into UCLA?
No. No. Wow. Unless you run a 4.440. No.
Or you have, like, a 42-inch vertical.
Yes, no. Exactly. No, that's not going to happen.
All right, this wraps up a pretty good week. I mean, at least I thought it was a phenomenal week. Great guest, Rob G. Thank you for booking him. Next week we will bring on my guy Matthew Berry for our fantasy extravaganza. I don't know when in the week, probably mid to later of the week, because I don't think anybody's really having fantasy drafts yet. Most start next week and then bleed into what, the 5th, 6th or whatever, right before the Thursday night opener. Folks, football's a different animal around here. I can't wait. I mean, it is all consuming. It feels like we have, you know, doing a daily podcast for a year. Football season's been over since January. It's just been odd, you know? Basketball was good, but, like, football is just totally different. Like, my whole routine changes. I wake up, like, 45 minutes earlier. You've got to read so much more stuff, the injury reports, line movement. I mean, I love it. I live for this stuff. And the gambling contest I entered, it's like cough up a lung. No, I should be fine. It was 1.2 to the winner last year. They expect more entries this year. They have already called it $4 million to the winner. Have I talked about this, Rob?
No, but I did see the article about it.
$4 million. Now, I know you're like, oh, wow, that's amazing. There's a lot of luck involved in that. And I have been in the money late in the season, like as late as like week 15, twice in, I guess, like 7 years I've done this. And I mentioned this before. It's really tough to be committed for 18 weeks and really keep that routine and not diverge and like have to see your family and travel and get ready for get gifts for the holidays and Thanksgiving. Like that stuff chews up a lot of time. Thanksgiving week is always brutal. There's just so much shit going down. And it's tough to gamble. And again, $4 million, chances of winning, slim. But there are quarterly prizes. And they used to be like, oh, 15K, 20K. They're 200K each quarter if you win. So you could open the season awful. Doesn't matter. You got the next quarter to rebound. I'll never forget, 2 years ago, I opened, was it 13-2? I think it was not, I was 13-2 heading into the week, and I was like top five where I could win an easy 20K. And I went 3-2, and that's just not going to cut it. I mean, there's no room for error, Rob. You really got to go. You can't have any 1-4s. 3-2 is okay. You need a 4-1, and you have to get 5-0s. And you got to do this like every friggin' week. It's quite crazy, but I love it. There's nothing more challenging that I've done. You know, I did a 10K a couple years ago. I vowed I will never do another 10K. It just wrecked my body for like a week, man. I was hurting so bad because I didn't like slow down. I got a decent time, but it just wrecked me. I'm not, you know, I had trained, but not well enough. I never actually ran a full 10K before the 10K. I don't know, man. I just think this gambling is the hardest thing ever, sports gambling. You could say it's a fool's errand, perhaps. I'm sure there's people laughing like, oh, what an idiot. It's been a good year so far with the gambling. March Madness was good. NBA playoffs were good. It's all documented on Fox. You know, like, they track my record, so I'm not making this shit up. Anyways, everybody have a good, safe weekend. Be back next week. Bright and early Monday morning. Can't wait. We'll talk to you then.